And welcome to back to the Browns post-game show, a little bit later than usual, but we are back. This is the WFOY Browns cast. I'm your host, Joe Gilbert.
Joe decided to subject himself to more punishment today.
I know, right? Yeah. Went to the Cavs game. Left early because that was brutal, and I guess I was almost lucky. I was the lucky charm almost for them to come back. But
yeah, you missed Darius Garland, put up 51 points.
I know, right? but yeah, we're back. This is I'm Joe, and this is Taylor. We're recapping the just brutal
39. Whatever that was.
Right, it's 39-17 loss to the Miami Dolphins by the Browns. Before we get to that, this broadcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. For the first time depositors, enter in the code WFNY at checkout, and Underdog will match your deposit up to $100. Underdog is a great platform if you're tired of the DFS salary system. There are tons of game types and drafts every night of the week for every sport. Don't forget to use WFNY at checkout to get your first time deposit matched up to $100. That is Underdog Fantasy, and we are also part of the podcast network of the Evergreen Podcasts Network. So there you go. Yeah, Taylor, how you doing? First of all,
no, pretty good. I'm a lot better now than I was a few hours ago. Anyway,
right. It was probably good that we kind of cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if anger is the right emotion for this. I think it's mostly just like disappointment, I think, would be the first one. And then like frustration in
just, right.
You let yourself get sucked into it every week.
Yeah.
Only to be spit on later, during the game. So, right. I don't know.
Yeah, especially coming off of that great win last week, or what, 2 weeks ago. It looked like, hey, maybe this defense is turning it around, and nope. The defense was once again just hideous. They gave up a total of 491 yards of total offense to the Miami Dolphins, and if Miami didn't take their foot off the brake, they would have had way over 500 yards. It was just it was an awful day. And let's start on the defense. I'm at a loss right now. I know you can't really do anything now because you're past the bye week, and but like if Joe Woods is here after the season, I just don't know what to do.
I don't know. I feel like he saved himself by, well, Zach Taylor saved him a couple weeks ago. And you're looking at it now and you're saying you had a week and a half to come up with a game plan for that one. And I know you might not have the guys you need in the middle to be able to stop the run effectively, consistently. But everything they did on Monday night a couple weeks ago in terms of defensive creativity and showing quarterbacks different looks and showing the line different looks and bringing different guys, didn't do any of it. You went out there and played vanilla the entire game. Anytime your defensive ends got any semblance of a pass rush, your defensive tackles were washed 5 yards out of the play,
right.
and the quarterback could just step up.
Yep.
Tua didn't Tua just made the throws today. He didn't do anything overly spectacular.
Right. He didn't have to. It was just so easy for him. It just looked like everything was just right in front of him. The run game was just absolutely just gouging this run defense. I don't even know if you want to call it a run defense because They just were not even close to stopping them. It was pitiful. They had what? Jeff Wilson and Monster, and they just
6 yards of carry.
Yeah, 6 yards of carry. Like, that's just unacceptable. And it just against comes back to go ahead.
Against a team that only averaged like 83 rushing yards a game.
Mm-hmm. I think they had
195.
Yeah, they had that at like halftime, I think. I think they were
they probably had that near halftime.
Yeah, it was just bad. It's just one of those things that it just keeps getting. It comes back to the same problems. Like, this is the run game is just getting trounced. It was good for like a week or so.
And some of that is the personnel. I mean, I can't 100% fault Joe Woods for not having NFL worthy defensive tackles.
Yeah.
But it is your job to coach the guys you have, and they haven't done anything.
No.
To coach the guys they have. And yeah, they had disciplinary against Perry and Winfrey today. I'm not sure he would have made a whole lot of difference. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Losing Anthony Walker definitely hurt, but that wouldn't have saved you today.
No.
I don't know. Tony Fields on that touchdown run that made it the embarrassing score at the end. Tony Fields looked like I would have looked out there.
Right.
He
was
in the hole, and then he fell over.
Well, the linebackers were just – we talk about the interior defensive line. The linebackers were really bad too. Taki came back to earth. Deion Jones was more chasing than actually pursuing.
I would say that the tackling is – didn't fall back to earth. The tackling was still pretty solid most of the day. They just there weren't people there to tackle. There weren't people there to tackle them.
Right.
When like near the line of scrimmage. Like
it was a rough day, and it just I agree. This is more than just a coach. It's a personnel, obviously. But as you said, like, he's not helping at all. Like,
no, good coaches mask the deficiencies that you have.
Right.
Average coaches find a way to play around it. And then there's Joe Woods, who apparently wants to accentuate the problems that they have by not only not helping the defensive tackles in any way. It feels like their splits are too wide in the middle of the field. You almost have two. You have one guy playing a three tech, which is between the guard and the tackle, and then the other one seems to even be bumped out to a five I forget what you call that, not a five tech, but he's like head up the other guard.
Yeah.
So you're leaving three full gaps in the middle of the field open every play, and that you don't have the linebackers. You don't have the linebacker play to make up for that because Taki is not it. Yeah, no. And JOK probably would have helped today, at least in pass coverage. Maybe you don't give up that 3rd and 10 over the middle, but I don't know. You've fielded what feels like 7 good defensive players. And the four that you are not that are, the four that are not good are clustered in one spot, and the defense can just take advantage of that one spot.
Right. Yep. Yeah. It's and as we said, like, there's gonna be like we'll talk about the offense in a second here, but those problems you can fix because you'll have an improvement coming in 3 weeks or 2 weeks now. Like, the defense just is what it is, and I don't know. The coaches don't seem like they know what the hell they're going to do to fix it, to at least alleviate some of the problems. So it just doesn't give me a lot of hope for the rest of the season right now, given that it just they're just bad.
No.
Straightforward, they're just bad.
You're playing another team next week who doesn't run the ball very well. Yeah. And they're probably going to run for 200.
Josh Allen might run for 100.
I mean, the Bills average 130 yards a game on the ground. Not awful, but I think that's below league average.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is Josh average. Allen.
Yeah, they don't have a running back that really makes single you feel...
Players,
yeah, Josh Allen actually leads the team in rushing with 476. Right. So,
And that's what we got going up next. It's just going to be – it's I feel like I don't want to be negative.
It feels like – What's the point in not being negative at this point?
Right, I know. It just feels like it's going to be a rerun of this week. I can already kind of see it. Like, it's – they're built almost similar. Both teams are through the air.
Miami's – or Buffalo's offense isn't as fast.
Right. But – yeah. But they still got, like, they got Diggs and they got Gabriel Davis, and they're going to kill you. And they have a better quarterback, obviously.
Yeah.
But they're both teams that don't run the ball. And I see it now that they're going to run right down their throat. It's, I don't know what else we can say about this defense. It's just pitiful. They look like they quit on several drives. I thought especially second half, they didn't seem like they were out. They're kind of working hard on there. And then it just seemed like they rotated a lot too. And when you don't have any depth on that team, you can't afford to rotate as much. I don't know if I may be wrong, but it just seems like they rotate a lot of guys way too often. For a team that just doesn't have anybody, like they had that special teams guy. I can't even. What was his name? The linebacker. Like, he should not have been on the field. Like
Tony Fields is one of them, but he plays
right. Tony Fields is the other one. Yeah, so two special teams, and then the edge rushers. They seem to rotate a lot. It's just.
Yeah, but there was nothing the edge rushers could do today because
right.
When you don't have two guys in the middle of the field that are forcing the quarterback to stay back in the pocket, edge rushers that play the way that Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney do, they don't do it. Like, yeah, people are going to bitch all over the internet saying Myles Garrett didn't do anything today. He only had 12 tackles, or two tackles, but the Dolphins offense is mostly predicated on quick hitting stuff. They ran the ball most of the time.
And it kind of
when your entire defense is not your entire defense. When 40% of your defense is reliant on Myles Garrett do thing.
Yeah.
And offense can game plan to make Myles Garrett not do thing. You end up with a game plan that gets shot in the face.
Right.
Because the other team doesn't even let your best player interact in the game.
Right. Yeah, you're a lot easier when it's just one player that you kind of game plan against. Like, you can game plan against an edge rusher if you don't have anything else on this defense. And
I mean, there's some secondary guys that can play well. I mean, I don't think Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle really made a big difference today. Yeah. Emerson got burned on a couple plays, but like, for the most part, I think he did okay. He got pushed in the face on the touchdown pass.
Right.
Minor tangent. That might have been the worst production crew I had ever seen orchestrate a football game. Anytime something negative happened for the Browns happened, did they ever show a freaking replay?
No.
What did Taven Bryant do? What did he do?
I know.
Did he look at someone funny? Like... We don't know. Yeah, all of these things, like the that pass interference, they briefly showed a replay. There was one, I forget what play it was. I put it in the group chat or in the Discord chat. Something questionable happens and immediately CBS goes to commercial.
Right, yeah.
Like, they didn't acknowledge, like,
what was the people? Were the people in the truck just sleeping? Did they not have replays of things?
You
have 15 cameras at this game, and no one saw what Taven Bryant did.
Yeah, it was the whole broadcast was just terrible. And like the, I think it was Gumbel pronouncing Stefanski or whatever. Like
I've never heard that in my life. But
I know, like what are
mostly,
doing here?
Mostly it was the video producer that was just asleep at the wheel, not showing replays unless it was something cool that Tyreek Hill did.
It was,
and obviously that wasn't going to make a difference in the score, but like. I'd like to know what Taven Bryant did so I know whether or not to bitch about it.
Right. Yeah.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.
So, the defense is just
tangent over.
Right. That's the defense. It is what it is right now. Basically, it is what it is.
I mean, was Anthony Walker really the glue holding the run defense together?
Seriously, like, what is, like, how is that possible that one guy's gone and they just look like they've never played against the run before in their life? The gaps in that run game and those holes were just as big as I've ever seen in my life. Like Nick Chubb was probably like, can I play for them, please? Like, geez Louise, it was terrible.
The Panthers had 54 rushing yards. The Jets had 93, and the Steelers had 104. So they had given up a little over 200 rushing yards in three games, or 250 rushing yards in three games with Anthony Walker healthy. So
wild.
That's
it's incredible.
What is that, about 80 something a game?
Yeah. Who knew Anthony Walker was the kingpin of this?
And the unfortunate part is he signed to a 1-year contract. So like,
right.
I think not only is his defense bad, two of its good best players are free agents at the end of the year. I think a third, Ronnie Harrison's also a free agent. I can't call him a best player, but he's a free agent and he's a competent player for the most part.
That's the frustrating part about. We'll get to the offense in a second, but I tweeted this during the game. Like, I love Andrew Berry, but like his lack of investment in the interior defensive line. And then at linebacker a little bit, it's really killed this defense. Like, there's no other way to say it. Like, it would be hard to find any of these interior defensive linemen being able to play on any other team. Like, they're that bad. They're like, Tommy Togiai is not an NFL player. It's just pitiful, and it's been, 3 years now without any sort of investment in that position.
When Andrew Berry took over, he was saddled with a Sheldon Richardson contract that was worth more than he was willing to pay a defensive end. He got rid of that after the first year. And even that year, people were wondering why he was getting, like, I don't think people were too thrilled with the defensive tackle play that year, but it wasn't like, I think we'd take that what we had that year now.
I think I would.
But he went and tried to do the money ball thing with the defensive tackles last year, and it worked to an extent. They were okay. They were at least league average players.
True.
So I think he got a little too high on himself and said, you know what, I'm going to spend even less on the defensive tackle position this year.
I'm just going to draft these guys, and whoever's on the team is going to do it. Like
Chris Antonetti, just... who should I pay defensive tackle for?
Right. Like they're all draft picks. Every single one of them, except for Tavon Bryan, is a draft pick. And Tavon, I think, was signed for league minimum or close to it, at least.
Yeah, he wasn't signed for much. So,
yeah.
Like, you're the problem with experimenting on how little you can spend on defensive tackle and get away with it is it's
burning the team.
This isn't like baseball where you can have a bad left fielder and it might hurt you every like four games.
Right. Yeah.
Like this is actively hurting them every other play on defense.
Offenses are going to find your weaknesses and they're going to attack it every single time they're on the field.
So I want to say that Andrew Berry is learning a tough lesson this year in underspending on
the
defensive
so.
Interior. I want to hope that he learns the lesson.
Yes, I would hope so. Like, I don't know.
Oh, and while we're on the topic of Andrew Berry, all the people who are out there saying, "Oh, I wish we had a first round pick." Oh, wait, shut up. Wait a couple weeks. There's your first
round. I know. Wait a couple weeks, and then you'll kind of shut up about that, please.
Yeah, like your first round pick is still suspended. Unfortunately, well, not unfortunately. You probably deserve more, but like,
yeah.
Your first round pick is suspended. Your first round pick to next year or in 2025 or whatever the hell year it is suspended. Yeah. Wait until he plays to say, "Oh wait, we don't have a first round pick." Like, they made this move for a reason. And you know, I'm going to make the transition to the offense myself. What we're seeing here is the stereotypical expected. We're seeing what happens when a backup quarterback plays long periods of time,
an extended period of time.
You have plateaued. You're not going to get any better play than you already have seen. And defenses know what they have to do to make sure that the game doesn't go off the rails against them. What they have figured out, defenses have figured out, the Bengals aren't coached by a person who knows what they're doing. What teams have figured out is that if you don't allow them to run to pass, if you shut down the run and force them to pass, they don't have the necessary response to that right now. Their receivers aren't good enough at getting open without help from the run game. Brissett is too risk averse to make tight throws, although he made a really nice one earlier in the game today.
He did.
It's just this is what happens when you have to play a backup quarterback for 9 games, which is why losing the games early that you had a chance to win hurts so much.
Exactly.
Because. That's an Amber Alert. if you win the Jets game, like you should have 2,501 times. If you win that game, and if you make the field goal against the Chargers, you are 4-4. And yes, today sucked, but it doesn't hurt as much.
Right. Yeah. And you're not really kind of, and these next two games are not as like,
no,
these are must wins right now.
No, I think I said it. I forget where I put it in the Discord today. It might have been in the private side, but I said these games are going to hurt even those games are going to hurt even more when they finish the season 5-1 when Watson comes back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, definitely. They're like, I don't want to be this guy, but like. What if he comes back, lights the world on fire, and they finish the season 9-8?
Yeah. Yeah, like, one game out or something like that.
They miss it by a game. They win their last 6.
Yeah.
And they finish 9-8 and miss the playoffs. Like, how much does blowing that game against... Yeah. How much does blowing that game against the Jets hurt? How much does blowing that game against the Chargers hurt?
it when we look back at the season, if they play well down the stretch, if they have a season like the 49ers did before they went to the Super Bowl, it's going to be those games that they blew early on that everyone that should be the ones that get pointed at, not the Patriots and not this one, because you got to take the advantage. You got to take the opportunities when you have them. And with a backup quarterback, those opportunities get harder and harder to come by the further you get into the backup quarterback stint. We are now, what are we, 9 games in?
9 games in, yeah.
We are 9 games into the backup quarterback putting film on the field of what he's able to do in this offense.
And he's outperformed my expectations.
He's outperformed everyone's expectations, but he's still not good enough to win games on his own.
Yeah.
And that's nothing against him. He's just not that kind of quarterback. He's played very well, and he's going to get a decent contract to go play somewhere next year. It's just when teams are able to scheme to stop the run and make them pass and get them into 3rd and 7, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 8, they don't have the receiving core to be able to get open right now. And they don't have a quarterback that's willing to throw it into tight windows consistently.
Right. God, I would love to know. I don't have the numbers in front. What the first down average was of yards? It had to be just terrible today.
Because it was terrible against the Bengals too. But the Bengals just can't play against the Browns for some reason.
Yeah, that's the kryptonite of the Bengals.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Joe Woods and the Browns.
Put this in the Discord too. Is Joe Woods only allowed to go have creative defense against division opponents? Is he?
Yeah.
Is that like a rule?
I know.
Like, because against the Steelers, Bengals, and Ravens, he plays well, and against everyone else, he looks like shit.
Yeah. Just insane. But So getting back to the offense, the run game. Let's go before the game and in the preview show we did on Thursday. We talked about how the Browns had a win in the trenches and they just got absolutely
I don't know if the game was played in the trenches, it was probably worse than a 22-point loss.
Right. Yeah. It was horrible. Both sides, they were just unbelievably dominated by the Dolphins. The run game, that was probably the worst I've seen the run game. Because Nick Chubb didn't run well.
He had his yearly fumble.
Yeah, he had his yearly fumble. It was Kareem Hunt doesn't look like the same running back anymore. Like, he just doesn't look. I don't know what it is.
Wyatt Teller looked very hurt. Yeah. Both tackles didn't look good today.
No.
Batonio's name wasn't called, but
right. Yeah. Well, Joel is the steady force on that line.
Yeah, and Posick, I mean, he played well. I guess I don't know. How can you say that any of the offensive line really played well? Right. And
the two tackles were really bad. Like, they were collapsing often and at the same time too, which was not ideal.
No.
Wills and Conklin just had they had a bad game.
No, and in the Dolphins we saw exactly what should happen when the two defensive ends collapse the pocket from the outside. Yeah. There was always a guy in the middle waiting. It's amazing what happens when the defensive tackles can stay in their lane,
right,
and not get washed out.
Like, how many times I think we heard Christian Wilkins' name more than we've ever heard a Browns interior defensive lineman combined in any of the games this season. He made 3 or 4 behind the line.
Yeah,
he just dominated the line of scrimmage and. It must be nice. That's all. Must be nice.
He had 7 tackles and 1 sack.
That's an insane amount of production from an interior guy. It's this offense. I definitely agree with you, and it's plateaued. we're two games left, but it is plateaued with Brissett. They have nowhere else to go. Hopefully, the next two teams don't know the game plan that everybody else has figured out besides the Bengals.
Leonard Fournette's going to run for 200 yards.
Please. I know, it'll be his rejuvenation.
who on that defense is going to tackle that guy?
I don't know. We're gonna see a lot of defenders falling backwards. Is basically what we're gonna see. But yeah, it's not good.
The lack of the defensive line's ability to be able to maintain gap control in both the pass game and the run game has been their ultimate downfall in both.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just kills the edges. It just eliminates them.
Yeah, you could have the two best edge rushers in the world, but if your defensive tackles ain't doing shit, the quarterback's just going to step up and he's going to run by. You're going to run by. Right.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say on that, but it's just, the offense is plateaued and the defense is just terrible. So, that's where we are right now.
I mean, there was people that wanted to blame the offense today, and they struggled in the middle part of the game. For the most part, but the fumble definitely took away points, and after the drive right before halftime really hurt because you didn't run any clock off, and then Bohorquez's punt, that was his first bad punt of the year, and it came at a really bad time. And
boy, special teams comes at a really bad time. It just seems to come. They
special teams I didn't even feel was bad today. They just had one bad punt.
It's always their one mistake, a game always comes at the worst time. And the worst time.
They've had two good kick returns today, which is the first of the season.
Welcome back to Rome Ford.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think the best place to pin this loss would be if you want to get super meta, you can blame this loss on Deshaun Watson. But in reality, it's the middle part of the defense just being a soulless void.
Yep. Basically, yeah. Yeah. that's what it is.
There's not any insight. Intuitive analysis that I can add to that. I don't have the film in front of me yet. I wouldn't know what to do if I did, but my eyes are telling me that there is four players on the field who are clearly not starting caliber NFL players. And they're not even really backup quality NFL players.
Right.
I can give backup quality NFL player to Taki Taki. He's been actually pretty good, but in the last couple of weeks, he's kind of turned it around. He was a few weeks ago, he was another missed tackle from getting cut. But when you're running guys out there, I don't even know who played defensive tackle today. Taven Bryan. Had one tackle.
You just don't even hear them because they're just blown off the ball and they don't.
Tommy Togi somehow had three tackles.
Oh, he must have fell in the pile or something.
You're giving Jordan Kunizic enough run to get three tackles today or five tackles today. That shouldn't be where your defense is. You need to have better players than that. Deion Jones played well today. If you look at the box score, he had nine tackles.
Yeah.
I never see him fill a run gap.
Right. How many of those tackles were 10 yards off?
Since I didn't watch the Monday night game, I'm not even used to finding him on the field yet. What is he at 54?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it was bad. Yeah, one of the players I sort of just want to hit on in a second is John Johnson is just – that's got to be one of the worst signings they've had in Andrew Berry's career so far. He's just been –
He didn't make that signing.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
No. John Johnson and Troy Hill came in the last year of Dorsey in 2018. They cut Troy Hill after a year, and they've kept John Johnson since. I think John Johnson's in the last year of his contract.
Oh, let me see. This is his second year. This is John Johnson's second year.
Is it?
Yeah. But beyond that, like...
Oh, yeah, it is.
Beyond that, it just... He's invisible out there. Like, I don't think... I think I heard his name called once, and is when he just got ran over by I think it was a running back or something. It's just... It's the most... This is definitely going to be his last year because he's made no impact. He's a waste of money.
Hope they have an out.
I think he's just a free agent, luckily. I think they just signed a two-year contract.
Let's see.
I think he's a two-year contract, if I remember correctly, when they signed him.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong website. That is not intuitive. let's see.
But, he's just an invisible player, and he was just touted as one of these guys that can really transform this defense. And
yeah, they have an out next year.
He's done nothing. It's pitiful. I just wanted to hit on that. Like, every week you don't hear about him unless he gave up a big play. Like, it's just bad. I don't know what else to say about this defense.
There's a lot of talk on Twitter whether or not the defense is actually talented. I don't know how much I want to give into that because I think we pretty much all agree that Joe Woods is a problem.
Yeah.
So would it be fair to judge a lot of these guys on where they're at in playing in a scheme that doesn't seemingly benefit anyone?
Right. Yeah, that's the sucky part. Like, you can't evaluate this. Like, you can't evaluate some of these guys.
The things that you can evaluate is that they don't have a defensive tackle position and they don't have a linebacker position outside
of one guy.
You know, JOK when he's healthy, Taki Taki when he decides he wants to know how to tackle, and Deion Jones, who we really don't have a whole book on yet.
Yeah.
So... I don't know.
Make Andrew Berry's job even harder. Like it's hard to kind of figure out what you got when you can't evaluate it kind of clearly because the defensive coordinator doesn't know what the heck they're doing. So that's the defense.
Overall, and the offense and the team and the frustrations. And,
right.
And I don't know. I'm sad now.
I know. So what are we at? We're at 3-6. 3-6. Yeah, 3-6. heading into Buffalo. So that was fun.
Yay.
Well, yay. They're coming off a two-game loss, I think. Two-game losing streak.
Yeah, so. They've lost the Jets and the Vikings, who are both above 500 against all odds.
Right. So that's going to be a uphill battle. These next two games are basically must wins, but
unless you think that Deshaun Watson's going to come back and be the second coming, which I'm not going to say that.
But I'm like, even if he is, and he goes 6-0. If you lose these next two, it's still going to be over.
Yeah, it's 9-8. If you get one of these next two, you could be 6-0 and get to 10-7, which might get you in, but probably right. Not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that says it all.
I think expecting Deshaun Watson to come back after not playing football for 2 years and right. And say, hey, go undefeated so we can make the playoffs is kind of unfair.
Also, it's kind of unfair. Like, this defense is not changing. Like, we're no. yes, the offense is going to change a whole lot. But
I don't know. Can we do what the Colts did and fire our defensive coordinator and hire like
Joe Thomas?
No, I don't know if he would help very much. But like, who's available?
Joe Hayden.
What's Wade Phillips doing?
Yeah. Wait, right. Just get someone off the bench. Hey, yeah, work for them for 1 week.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think the Raiders worked for them too.
Right.
Yeah. Raiders are.
I know. The 1 year that we don't play the Raiders, they suck.
And the 1 year we play we play them seemingly every year, but the year we get the AFC East, everyone's freaking good. There was three pushovers in that division for like 20 years.
Yep. So yeah, any other thoughts you got? I don't know. It's just frustrating, man. It's just
the frustrating part is that you can like you see what the problems are,
right?
And it doesn't feel like they're being addressed in any way that gives you confidence that they're actually trying to fix problems.
Yeah. That actually brings up a good point by one of our commenters here, Wahoo Fan. I did question their, as I said earlier in the pod, their motivation. They just looked flat. They came out real hot. Like that first drive was perfection almost. Thanks to
like four plays.
Right. And then they just looked like they didn't want to play the rest of the game. It was just they got run over and they didn't show a lot of fight. And that's I'm not a big blame Stefanski on a lot of things, but that's got to be on him. Like your guys weren't ready. They had 2 weeks and they just were
run off the field. Is it? I mean, yes, all of the team is his and he's the CEO, but like. Is the defense being bad his problem?
I think
what his problem is not holding anyone accountable for what's happened.
Exactly.
But the defense being bad is not his problem. Like he's not even like, I don't think he seems like he's pretty hands off and it's just like, you guys go do your defensive things. I'm not going to worry about it because I don't want to micromanage our defensive coordinator. But like at some point, you have to kick down the door and say, what the hell is going on in here?
That's exactly. Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely agree at that point. It's not the individual like things of the defense and all the miscommunication. It's just the continuation of it without any kind of ramifications. It just seems like it's just going to continue to happen. Like he hasn't really gone into that room and said something like, obviously, we're not in the locker room, but it just doesn't seem like anything has changed in terms of how they kind of go about things.
It doesn't feel like the defense plays when they get hot. They're playing well because they're playing well and they feed off of each other. When they're not playing well,
they feed off. Yeah,
they don't just believe in their coach to put them in another position. In a different position to win.
Yep.
Like they went into halftime down 10, needing a stop coming out of halftime so that they weren't down 17 before the offense touched the ball again.
Yep. And they just got run right down the field
and no resistance.
Yep.
So like what's going on? Like what adjustments are being made? What's being done? Like it doesn't feel like anything is.
Right. And did they punt? I don't think they punted today, right?
No, they didn't.
No. So they had what?
They had one turnover on downs, two field goals.
Yeah.
A bunch of touchdowns. They didn't have a bunch of possessions because they were running the ball the whole time.
Right. I know. We talked about that. I was like, oh, let's try to keep them off the field. And they kept us off the field.
Each team had 9 drives. That's not a lot in the grand scheme of the NFL.
No. Yeah, they were long. Like, they didn't score quickly. Like, we talked about it before the game. Like,
The Vikings and Bills each had 12 drives in regulations today. 13 drives altogether.
Crazy.
So, like, it's not like it was a game where the defense should have gotten very tired. Are you going to blame the heat? You shouldn't.
Right. And that's the funny thing. Like, Waddle and Hill didn't kill you. And you still gave up, 39 points?
No, I mean, Waddle had 4 receptions for 66 yards. Hill had 5 receptions for 44 yards.
It was so spread out. They just, like, it was basically, Tua was just basically a point guard and just kind of threw it whoever was open. Like, they gave little resistance to the run game, and then based off of that, Tua just did what he kind of did his check downs. And with this Browns team, you can check down on them and they won't give much resistance on that. How many times did we see in the first half, I think, at least, the running backs were just wide open in the flat? And
I mean, that's kind of how the defense plays, keep everything in front of you, but they
don't react until the pass is thrown, which is not what you want. Like, you need they catch the ball and then they start running. Like, it's just, it's going to allow five yards of carry or 5 yards of pass, and that's the first down after two plays. Like, it's just not good enough. And
nope.
I don't know what else to say. I don't know. Well, we play the Bills next week, and
I don't know. We'll be back here to commiserate.
I just predict the same kind of situation.
I mean, is commiserate kind of where we're at now? I don't know.
Yeah. 2 weeks is going to be a long 2 weeks here before we can actually get some hope in here. But, okay. Anything else you got?
I don't know. I miss winning.
I do too.
Not even the Cavs have done that lately.
I know. We were so high a month or two ago? Oh man, the Guardians are in the playoffs. Cavs are hot right now, and the Browns won the opener, and then bleep, boop. The Cavs will be fine.
The Cavs will figure it out.
But the Browns, not so much.
No.
Because I mean, you can't really figure out crappy defense.
I still have this sinking feeling that they're gonna magically be so much better when Watson comes back, and they're going to win 5 of 6 to close the season. It's not going to mean a damn thing. It's going to be like those
Mangini years.
It's going to be like that Mangini 4-game win streak that saved his job for another year. Or was that Crennel? I think that was Crennel.
Mangini.
I don't remember. I just remember James Harrison or James Harrison.
Yeah,
was that his name? Yeah, he decided to be a Hall of Famer for a month, and
yeah,
and it's going to save Joe Woods' job.
Oh God.
That would be the worst outcome.
That's gonna, yeah, like, and that's the thing with it. He keeps having these like good performances, or his unit does, and then maybe he turned it around, and then you get today. So I don't know.
No, watch, they're gonna have a decent performance against the Bucks in a couple weeks because the Bucks offense is actually anemic, and people are gonna say it's fixed.
Yep.
And then they're going to play the Texans the week after, whose offense is anemic. And it's going to be fixed again.
Yeah.
And I think they'll play the Ravens after that, who they do pretty well against. So, 3 straight weeks.
Yeah, for sure. Joe Woods is just counting down the days to play the Bengals. Where are they on that line? Oh,
God. Joe Woods, Hall of Fame coach, playing the Bengals.
Yes. Thanks, Zach Taylor. Okay. I think that's enough.
Yeah, I think we've
I think we've tortured ourselves enough.
We've gone too far down the rabbit hole.
Yes, we have. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. This is another WFNY Browns cast, part of the Evergreen Podcast Networks. We'll be back either Wednesday or Thursday to preview the fun game coming up against the Buffalo Bills.
Joy.
Can't wait. But yeah, thanks for joining us, and go Browns.
Question mark?
Question mark.
Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right. I've never done it. No, right.